This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you. It's 15 minutes. We're going to be talking some football. Jared Bailey, he does great work over at Sporting News, along with the Believe Podcast Network, where he specializes in the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to be joining me, and boy, oh boy, we got him on the show to commit before we knew what was going to be happening with the Steelers, and man, this is going to be a lot of fun to take a look at this revamped defense. Are we perhaps going to be seeing TJ Watt on the move as well? That's what is up, so we're going to be talking about that and so much more, and what we can perhaps expect out of this AFC North as well. That is going to be one of the most interesting divisions in all of football, and we're going to have that chat in 15 minutes. And speaking of football, Greg's Random NFL Roulette comes your way in 30 minutes. It's a game that is sweeping the nation where I pick a team by random and I break them down, give you guys what I'm taking a look at in terms of their schedule, their win total. That's in honor of the NFL betting guide. That is coming out in mere hours. That is going to be out on July 1st. And if you're listening to the replay, it might actually be out already. So, yep, we have really been putting in some good work there. Everyone here at the network does such an amazing job with all these guides. Adam Burke and Company, top-notch job in terms of it. I got to see a little bit of a sneak peek, so credit to them. And we also have to give credit where it is due to everyone behind the scenes here at VSiN. They are the folks that make these shows what they are. You wouldn't be seeing me on YouTube TV, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, whatever. You're hearing me on SiriusXM Channel 158 without them. You've got our producer in Jared, who does a great job of setting me up for success, being able to book these great guests. Like, we've got Jared Bailey coming up in 15 minutes. Andrew, he's one of the newest members of the network, and he's doing a great job of keeping me on the straight and narrow as well, and we very much appreciate him. We need to be staying on the straight and narrow. Trust me, I say that for multiple reasons, so I appreciate Andrew on that front. And then if you're watching on any of these TV slash, shall we say, online platforms, the big reason why you're seeing everything right now and the camera's not broken, because it might be the most difficult task here at the network to make myself look halfway presentable in a moving picture slash video format. That'd be Jaren's and Alexis doing a great job. And all of the graphics that you see, all the numbers that you see, the odds, they do a great job of making sure that they're up to date. And you might be listening on SiriusXM Channel 158. And every single show that we do here at VSiN, it is available in podcast form. Go to VSiN.com/podcast and search for the VSiN Bets Feds feed, wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, list goes on and on for all those. And I know that Chris is doing a tremendous job on that front as well. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They are the best in the business. And because they do such an amazing job, I need to do a great job of being able to be on point with my picks. And we'll get into a little bit of baseball here in a few minutes, as we do have ourselves all 30 teams in action, and we have ourselves a day game as well. Yay, verily on that front. But we are seeing a lot in terms of basketball. NBA free agency, it is now on, and with regards to NBA free agency, the moves are going to be happening like wildfire. And you did see a very fascinating move that happened a few hours ago between the Brooklyn Nets, and you also saw in that deal the Denver Nuggets with the trade of Michael Porter Jr. and Cam Young. And with this, I do think that it helps out the Denver Nuggets quite a bit, because I just felt like there was a lot of, shall we say, untapped potential with regards to Michael Porter Jr. I think that this is going to be, for lack of a better term, a little bit of a fresh lease on life for him. And when it comes to this Denver Nuggets team, they really didn't move with regards to the odds to be able to win the title. They've been hovering right around 15-16-1. They are still right there at 15-16-1. And with Cam Johnson coming into the fold, I think I accidentally called him Cam Young. There's a few Cams out there in the NBA, but with Cam Johnson coming on in, being able to give you 18-plus points per contest, in my opinion, just giving the team a little bit of a different dynamic in general, I think that he's going to be a little bit more versatile out there on the floor, which, with having Nikola Jokic, I think that that is very good for the team. I think that that is going to be able to serve them well. And we talked about this with Robin Lundberg in hour number one. He did such a great job lending his insight as well. Do think that's interesting what the Hawks are now stacking as well. Being able to add Nikhil Alexander-Walker in a sign-and-trade, I thought that that was a very good move for them. Obviously, you pick up Kristaps Porzingis as well. And do I think that the Atlanta Hawks are going to be winning the title this year? No, but right now they're at 60-1. That puts them on par with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Detroit Pistons. I think it's a little bit of a jury's out situation. They were behind these teams a little bit before, so they've been able to rise up the board just a skosh there. But for the Atlanta Hawks, I think the biggest question mark is just Trae Young and that entire dynamic, because sometimes I feel like he can win you a lot of games. Sometimes he loses you a lot of games. But now he's got help unlike what we've seen in quite some time for the Hawks. I'm not going to say that's the most help that he's ever had. He had some relatively solid teams like 3 to 4 years ago when they were a bit more consistently making the postseason. But that said, I do think that for the Atlanta Hawks, they've done a really nice job of being able to upgrade here in this offseason. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And we're talking about upgrading. We're talking about just being able to get in on something. You want to get in on some horse racing. First bet, they have got you covered. It is the dog days of summer, so you need something to bet on. And why not bet the ponies? Because First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every single day from top tracks all across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up over at firstbet.com. That is the number one, stbet.com. Utilize the promo code VSIN200. That's VSIN200. That'll claim you a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head on over to firstbet.com, the number one, stbet.com. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, we'll talk a little bit more about the Pittsburgh Steelers and all of their trades in about 10 or so minutes when Jared Bailey joins me. He does a great job covering the NFL. We got to get you guys some baseball plays, though, and we just saw the San Francisco Giants lose another game as they fall to the Arizona Diamondbacks. This has been a less than tremendous situation for them. I believe that they have now lost 6 out of their last 7 games. Might actually be 7 out of their last 8, and many of those games were to the Miami Marlins and the Chicago White Sox, so they could really use a W here as they're on the road against the Arizona Diamondbacks. This is Hayden Birdsong going for the Giants, and Zach Allen looks to fill it up for Arizona. Right now, this total is 9, and for Arizona, they're about minus 130 to minus 137 favorites. Between plus 112 to plus 120 is that number on the Giants. I'm willing to back the Giants here. I know that it's been a less than tremendous situation for them in general. They have been as cold as an igloo over the last few games, but I still do think that this team has a lot of talent, and I do think that they're going to be able to find it. The bullpen pitching is still supreme. Number one in the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA, albeit Hayden Birdsong actually began his season out there in the bullpen before becoming a starter for this team, and he has been having a little bit of a rough go of it. 3-plus runs allowed in each out of the last 3 starts that he has made, but you've got backing him up likes of Randy Rodriguez, Camilo Duval, Tyler Rogers, Eric Miller, all give you a sub-3 ERA. Spencer Bivens has been a relatively good long guy as well, so I love what these guys are able to bring to the table, and you just don't have that with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Currently a bottom 4 team in the big leagues in terms of their ERA. With Zach Allen, he just has not been the same guy as well. I have to think that there's like some residuals of what happened during the 2023 season when he threw the most innings of any player out there in all of baseball with that World Series run that the Arizona Diamondbacks had, as just has been posting up a 5.75 ERA, and it's actually been worse when he has been at home rather than on the road. That goes up to a 6.29 ERA, and he's giving up at home darn near 2 home runs for 9 innings. That's just not the Zach Allen that we all know and love, especially with the fact that he's typically much better at home rather than on the road. And when you have these guys like Juan Murillo, Ryan Thompson, they've been mixing and matching with the likes of Taylor Scott and company. That's just less than amazing. Now, I do like this total over because for the Arizona Diamondbacks, what has been rock solid has been the lineup. And Eugenio Suarez has been able to give you 25-plus home runs. You've got these guys like a Geraldo Perdomo who's able to give you a 360 on base. Josh Naylor is hitting darn near 300. Recognize that Corbin Carroll's currently out of the fold. That hurts him a little bit. And Gabriel Moreno has been dealing with injury as well at the catcher spot. So that's been a little bit less than tremendous for them as well. But all in all, I do think that you're going to be able to get some relatively solid production out of this lineup. And I do think that the Giants start to rise up just a skosh with this offense as well. Rafael Devers has yet to really deliver for the San Francisco Giants. You do have Eloy Ramos, who's giving you 12-plus home runs. He's giving you north of a 350 on base. You need to get a little bit more towards the bottom of the lineup. Some of these guys that are like a Patrick Bailey, for example, are just not necessarily giving you a whole heck of a lot. And Willy Adames continues to be useless for the team. Like, man, that has been a bit of a waste of money. And I do think sooner rather than later, you're going to be able to find it just a little bit more with him. So with this total of 9, I do like the over. And when it comes to the San Francisco Francisco Giants. Being able to get them at plus money, I actually set them as a very slight favorite. I'm going to be willing to dive in on the money line there. This is a team that is barely a favorite as well, and they are struggling. And I'm looking at you, the New York Mets, who play host the Milwaukee Brewers, as it is one. Mr. Freddie Peralta is on the bump for the crew. Clay Holmes is on the bump for the Mets. Mets between minus 122 to minus 127 favorites. In that neighbor, about even money to plus 110 is that number on the Brewers. And totals 8.5. For Freddie Peralta, I do believe that he's doing for a little bit of negative regression. The 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings is good for a lot of pitchers. That's actually pretty much a career low for Freddie Peralta right now. And for Peralta, he has been quite lucky to be able to weasel himself out of a lot of, like, men on first and second sort of situations. And for Mr. Peralta, he's been giving out north of 3 walks per 9 innings. So I feel the Independent is darn near a point higher than the ERA. So that does leave me with a little bit of concern there for Clay Holmes. He does have some concern with his fielding Independent as well. He's been keeping the ball in the yard, giving up one home run per 9 innings, but 8 strikeouts to 3 walks per 9, and the Mets in general have been experiencing quite a bit of that regression. But you know what? With this Mets team as well, you still have one of the better offenses in all of baseball, with the likes of Juan Soto, Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, all give you at least 15 home runs. And I do think that for the Brewers, if you look at the way that they have played this year, the home and road splits make no sense. Like, American Family Field, where they play, it's a relatively neutral park, not necessarily friendly to pitchers, not necessarily friendly to hitters. It's sort of what you'd expect from a normal ballpark. Well, for the Milwaukee Brewers, they're leading the league in terms of runs per game on the road with 5.65, and at home, they're averaging less than 4 runs per game. I think that irons out. I do think that the Mets get the job down here in a little bit of a lower scoring game. I like the under, and I do like the Brewers on the money line. What else I love is talking some football. Jared Bailey, he does great work over at Sporting News, and he joins me next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as we've got Jared Bailey aboard. He does such tremendous work over at Sporting News. I know that on top of that, he's a part of the Believe Podcast Network. And Jared, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, well, we'll be seeing if they're doing great or terrible moving forward, because they made a pretty interesting swap with the Miami Dolphins. Not often where you see a team trade away a player and then reacquire him, but that's what happened with the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal. He gets swapped out for Jalen Ramsey, and I want to get your thoughts here with regards to what this means for both teams, because it's reported that the Steelers might also be shopping TJ Watt as well, which that would completely change that defense. And for the Miami Dolphins, it's a very interesting team that I feel like has sort of been lost in the shuffle in the AFC this offseason.
Well, let me get ahead of this real quick. The Steelers aren't going to trade TJ Watt. They wouldn't make the moves that they've made this offseason if the end game was, okay, then we're going to trade TJ Watt. No, the plan is they are going to extend TJ Watt. Again, they wouldn't have traded for Jalen Ramsey, traded for DK Metcalf, like made all these moves, bringing in Aaron Rodgers to go all in for this year if they weren't going to extend TJ Watt. So I'm not worried about that in the slightest. From the trade today, from a fan perspective, obviously it's, you know, hard to see Minkah Fitzpatrick go. I mean, this is a guy who's been a steward of not just the defense, but of the Steelers as a whole over the last 6 years. So seeing him go is a little bit disappointing and, you know, hard from the fan point of view. But at the same time, the Steelers weren't going to re-sign him. This was going to be his last year as a Steeler, all but certainly anyway. So, you know, if you can get Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith in exchange for him and, you know, make your defense better, but also give you a pass catching option on offense. From the business side of things, it makes perfect sense. In the locker room, again, you're losing a leader, and that is, you know, it's not nothing. But on the field, I do think the defense did get better today. The team as a whole got better today because, you know, Minkah, you know, while he's a 3-time all pro, the last 2 years hasn't produced the way that, you know, Steelers fans and Steelers themselves got used to. So the trade makes sense. I'm intrigued to see how Arthur Smith is going to use Jonnu Smith offensively. And, you know, with a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who's a multiple-time all pro, multiple-time pro bowler, who can move all around the defense. You can put him out wide. You can put him at nickel. You can put him at safety. They now have a little bit of a chess piece that they didn't have before. So all in all, I think it makes sense for the Steelers. For the Dolphins, you know, they get a good safety in Fitzpatrick, but I mean, that's a team that still feels like a sitting duck. I don't think that they scare any of the big heavy hitters in the AFC or the NFL as a whole. So they just feel like a weird lame duck franchise right now that doesn't have a very high ceiling.
Yeah, Ben, it's a team that I was pointing out. It just feels like they're built a little bit too much around Tua Tagovailoa, and if he gets injured, man, you really don't have any options regardless of who your backup quarterback is as well. And just getting back to the Steelers as well, where would you put them in the hierarchy of the AFC now? Because you mentioned you felt like the team got better, and certainly adding Jonnu Smith as well, I think that helps out. But I think the big question mark, and I don't think we're going to know until we see it out there on the field, how does this offense look with Aaron Rodgers at the controls?
I think right now, like, I wouldn't bet on them to go into Arrowhead and win a playoff game. I wouldn't bet on them to go into Buffalo to win a playoff game. I don't think that they're quite there. But when it comes to Baltimore and Cincinnati, I mean, the division rivals that they've had success against, I know that the Ravens have won the last two games, but prior to that, the Steelers have won 8 of the last 9 in that rivalry. So, you know, they've proven time and time again they can beat Baltimore. And Cincinnati, they put up over 40 points the last time that they were in Cincinnati. So I think that those games are winnable, and it's different when, you know, you have divisional opponents and non-divisional opponents. But in terms of the hierarchy in the AFC, it's still Kansas City and Buffalo. You got to find a way to put them in somewhere in that top five, I would certainly say, because in the AFC South, Houston is kind of that weird team right now where C.J. Stroud's really good. D'Amico Ryans is a really good head coach. Defensively, they're really good, but the offensive line is a question. If they were to face Houston in a playoff game where they would go to Houston, I would feel pretty confident in Steelers' chances of winning that game. And yeah, like I said, they can beat Cincinnati. They can beat Baltimore. So they would be somewhere from probably 4 to 6 in that range, depending on how you want to rank teams. But I think that they certainly have gotten better this offseason. I think their ceiling has been raised. I think their floor has been raised. So they're a team that can win a playoff game and maybe give a team all it can handle in the divisional round. But Kansas City, Buffalo still very easily the top two teams in that conference. And then, you know, if you wanted to say, hey, they're better than Cincinnati, I wouldn't argue with you. I think, you know, top to bottom, 1 to 53, they have a better roster. They don't have Joe Burrow or Jamar Chase, which certainly helps the Bengals a lot. But as a, you know, as a whole, when it comes to, you know, the entire roster, I think they're better than the Bengals. But Baltimore is still, you know, top to bottom, a better roster. So I think the very highest you could put them is probably 4. But again, this is a team that I think this year can win a playoff game if all things go well. So you've got to keep them at least in that top five conversation.
Yep, and with the AFC, it does feel like after those big few teams, it's going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge as well, and it is a pretty brutal AFC when you get through 4 through 8, 4 through 9. As joining me on the show, we do have Jared Bailey. He does tremendous work over at Sporting News, along with the Believe Podcast Network, joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And no doubt, we've got a lot to take a look at for the upcoming NFL season. And when it comes to the NFL season as well, how do you just take a look at this NFC North? Because this is a division that I've been talking about last few days on the network, and I feel like this might be one of the most interesting divisions in all of football, where the Lions have been that top team over the last few years, but I'm feeling bullish about the Packers. And I think that the Vikings might be one of the most interesting mysteries with J.J. McCarthy.
I'm also very bullish on the Packers. They were my team to win the NFC North. Not only win the NFC North, having been the number one seed in the entire NFC. I love Jordan Love. I think the things that he did last year while basically playing on one leg, a lot of people looked at like the raw numbers, especially in the playoff game against Philadelphia, where he didn't play well. And, you know, there's this weird conversation saying, oh man, you know, maybe the verdict's still out on Jordan Love. Well, no, it's not. He's a good quarterback. And I think that when you look at what they have in terms of a top five head coach, Matt LaFleur, still really good weapons offensively. They just brought in Matthew Golden and Savion Williams at receiver. I would expect them to probably move off of one of the receivers that they already had, but a good running game in Josh Jacobs. And defensively, You know, I think there's going to be people who are worried about the loss of Jair Alexander. Well, he's only played in 14 games over the last 2 years anyway. Edgerrin Cooper has, you know, cemented himself already as a star at the linebacker position. So Green Bay's a team I'm also very bullish on for the quarterback, their head coach, and I think that defensively they're a little bit better than what a lot of people believe. Detroit, like, losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn isn't nothing. And so, you know, anytime you win 15 games, you're more than likely going to take some sort of step back. I still think they're going to be a wild card team, but I think Green Bay wins that division. Chicago, I think that 7 to 8 wins would be a pretty successful year for them after, you know, what year one with Caleb Williams looked like. I think he's going to take a nice little jump. If they were in the NFC South, you could probably talk me into saying that the Bears would win the division, but this is arguably the toughest division in football. If they can get to 8 wins in year one under Ben Johnson, that's a big success. I think I'm kind of on an island when it comes to the Vikings. So many people are like, oh man, this is a Super Bowl caliber team. We don't know what JJ McCarthy's going to look like. So I can't put them in that conversation when I have no idea how good their quarterback is. I wasn't super high on him coming out of Michigan anyway. And I know that, you know, Kevin O'Connell just helped make Sam Darnold look like the second coming of Joe Montana. But I think that a lot of that magic carpet ride isn't going to be able to get replicated. So I don't think they're going to be horrible by any means, but I would confidently take the under on 9.5 wins with Minnesota. I would confidently take the over on 9.5 wins with Green Bay. I think that when it comes to, you know, just win totals, those are the two I feel the absolute most comfortable with in this division.
Oh, I absolutely love it. The Green Bay Packers are the team that I picked out of the NFC to make the Super Bowl myself. So, Jared, we are in lockstep there. And just as you've been evaluating things, because now we're going to be having these teams reporting to training camp relatively soon, has there been one team that you've looked at this offseason that, as things have gone along, either you've been stock up or stock down on them, and maybe you've had a little bit of a change of opinion on as the months have been leading up to the season?
That's a good question. I'm really high on the Rams. I mean, this is a team that was pretty close to making it to the NFC Championship game last year in a blizzard in Philadelphia. They add Devontae Adams. Defensively, there's still some question marks in the secondary. I would like to see them go out and maybe get a Justin Simmons or a Julian Blackman. You know, a lot of people thought that they would be the team to bring in Jalen Ramsey. You know, he played there before, he helped them win a Super Bowl. Obviously, that didn't happen. But that's a team that I'm super high on. They're my pick to come out of the NFC and represent that conference at the Super Bowl. And I think that a Green Bay, Los Angeles Rams NFC Championship game would be very fun to watch. So that's a team that I'm pretty high on. Jacksonville's a team that I'm always intrigued in because I'm a big Trevor Lawrence guy. The last time that he was fully healthy, the Jaguars got to the playoffs, won a playoff game, and gave the Chiefs a pretty nice fight in the divisional round. And before he got hurt in 2023, the Jaguars were 8-3 and had the number one seed in the AFC. So I think a fully healthy Trevor Lawrence with a new system and Liam Cohen, adding Travis Hunter to go along with Brian Thomas. You know, I'm not the biggest Travis Hunter guy in terms of believing he's going to be this incredible elite talent, but if he's anywhere near that and a good receiver, the Jaguars offense is going to be better. And I think their defense added some defensive pieces in the secondary to get better as well. So in a wide open AFC South, I think Jacksonville's very intriguing.
I love that look, and Jared does a great job breaking down the NFL. Big thanks to him for joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And coming up next, it's Greg's random NFL football roulette right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Jared Bailey in the last segment. He does such an excellent job breaking down this great game of football. And when he joins me, he always lends such good insights. He did so once again today. So a big thanks to Jared for joining me in the last segment. And we are getting set for the football season. It has been a very, very wild off season. We've seen a lot of moves, and we are going to be getting football in our lives sooner rather than later, and this means that we've got to be taking a look at all these teams. I had a nice stretch of days here at VSiN coming up, so I figured, hey, why not take this time to do something special, break down all these teams, and we're calling it Greg's Random Football Roulette, where I go to random.org, a website that I've been utilizing for random lists since I was in high school. We're going to randomize all these teams, pick one by random, and we're going to run through all 32 teams, give you guys a preview there, and we shall see where the randomizer ends up tonight. This is night number 6 of 16 of it, so without further ado, let's see if we hit some big bucks or if we get some whammies as we go to Greg's Random Football Roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All righty, let's hit the randomizer button, and do we get a whammy? Do we get something good? Oh, we get intrigue. How about them Cowboys? Dallas Cowboys is where we land for tonight, and whew, there have been varying opinions of the Dallas Cowboys. I am typically very bearish on the Dallas Cowboys. It's a Dallas Cowboys team full of a lot of superstar players and not a lot outside of that. I know that the coaching search and hiring on Schottenheimer did not necessarily elicit a lot of confidence from a lot of people. I've got the Dallas Cowboys making the playoffs. Like, I think that this team might be rock solid. Right now, their win total is at 7.5. You've got the tools to be able to make a run in the NFC. And I know that this is a Dallas Cowboys team that they're, once again, the depth might not be the world's greatest. I fully recognize that. But you've got the top-end talent with this team, and I felt like you were able to be able to find some pieces in the offseason, as well as, I mean, they did let go of Rico Dowdle. That was a little bit rough for them. He was a 1,000-yard rusher for them. But I do think that Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders in the backfield are going to be able to make a relatively good 1-2 punch. They pick up George Pickens. Pickens along with CeeDee Lamb. That's very lethal. And Dak Prescott, obviously, coming off of injury from a season ago, but I mean, this is a guy that when he's fully healthy and when he's fully right, is rock solid. They've also stuck quite a bit into the offensive line, albeit it was from many, many years ago. Someone like a Tyler Smith, I think, is going to be a little bit of a roll of the dice this year, and it is an offensive line that isn't the same as it was like 5 years ago. No, but I mean, you still have the top-end talent with this team. You still have guys like Malik Hooker and Trayvon Diggs in the secondary, and I think that this is a team that can really go out there and surprise. Now, you take a look at this Dallas Cowboys schedule, you're going to be having yourself a relatively difficult one against the Philadelphia Eagles in week 1. That's not going to be vicious here. That is going to be a loss for them on the road against the Eagles to open up the year. But then from there, things get a little bit easier. At home against the Giants, well, we're really looking bad. If they lose that game, we're going to give them the win. Then they have to go on the road against the Bears. They have to play at home against the Green Bay Packers, on the road against the Jets. I think that they have a chance to be able to win that Bears game. With the Packers game, I think that that one's going to be a little bit tougher. I think that they win one out of those two games. So we're going to give them 2-2 here through 4 weeks on the road against the Jets. Very winnable game. I think that they get the job done against the Jets. That puts them at 3-2. The Panthers on the road, winnable game. That puts them at 4-2. Call me crazy. I think that they can split against the Commanders. Like, I think that the Commanders are going to be in for a good year. As a matter of fact, I've got the Cowboys and the Commanders making the playoffs. I think that this NFC East is going to be an NFC beast this season. I think that this is going to be a really good division. So we're going to actually give them a win here at home. That puts them at 5-2. Now you go to elevation, you have to play against the Broncos. I mean, playing against the Broncos in general, I think that they're going to be a rock solid team, especially at elevation. A little bit rough there. I think that you get a loss there. But then you play against the Cardinals at home. Very winnable game. So that'll give them another win. We're up to 6 on the road against the Raiders. I think that they can get the job done. That's 7 wins. Now things tighten up towards the back half of the season. At home against the Eagles, I know that it's going to be a home game, but I think that that one is going to be a little bit rough for them. I foresee that being a loss. And then you have to play against the Chiefs at home on Thanksgiving. Another loss on the road against the Lions on the road. That's a loss. But then you get the Vikings and the Chargers at home. I think that they could be able to win both of those games right there. That brings them up to 9 wins. They have to play against the Commanders on the road. Loss, but then they wrap up the season against the Giants. I think that there's a case to be made that this team can win 9 or 10 games, and that should be enough to be able to push them into the postseason. I think that they're on the cut line. Like, I had them team number 7 in terms of being able to make the playoffs out here in the NFC, but I think that there's a world where the Dallas Cowboys can surprise a lot of people, and I have noticed this with a lot of these teams where you have a public team, and let's call it what it is. Love the Cowboys, hate the Cowboys, feel indifferent about the Cowboys. A lot of people have a lot of opinion about the Cowboys, and a lot of people talk about them. And typically, when people are bearish on a team like the Cowboys, they overachieve. When people are bullish on a team like the Cowboys, they underachieve. And I think that this could be a little bit of an overachievement, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And something we overachieve with here at the network is our betting splits, because we get them straight from the source of Circa along with DraftKings. DraftKings gives you a really nice market perspective of where the public money is going. Meanwhile, Circa, they're taking the big bets from the biggest professionals. You know that they are taking the bets that are truly moving the line, so that way you're getting the best of both worlds. You're able to gauge the percentage of handle versus the actual best place with regards to all these games in terms of the percentage of money as well, and it gives you a really nice outlook, and you're able to utilize this for every single game across all major sports, and you're able to get in on our exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month over at vsin.com/subscribe. That is vsin.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eaps Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we're taking a look at the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that what else has me a little bit bullish on the Cowboys is that everyone just assumes that Schottenheimer is going to be a really awful coach. Like, is there a world where he actually might be okay? Like, I don't think I'm saying anything outlandish by saying this might actually work out halfway decent for the Cowboys. Now, I felt like Mike McCarthy was a relatively milquetoast coach. I felt like he was doing a relatively solid job with the team. But, and you know what? You take a look at a guy in Schottenheimer. He's obviously got familiarity with Dak Prescott. He's got familiarity with this team in general. And I think that everyone just assumed because, oh, they didn't get the big name like Ben Johnson or something like that. Oh, it's a bad hire and something like that. We don't know what these hires are going to be. Like, Schottenheimer has coached as many games as a head coach as Greg Peterson. And Greg Peterson, probably not going to be a great NFL coach, but you just never know with him. And some of these guys that are really good offensive gurus, what have you, sometimes they turn out to be amazing coaches. Sometimes they turn out to be terrible coaches. You just never know until they get that head coaching spot, because it's about much more than just the offense. It's much more than just about the defense. In the case of if you're a defensive guru, it's about being able to manage people, to be able to put guys in general in success, being able to oversee the coordinators. Maybe he's really good at overseeing, and I mean, he has a good example to be able to work from, because his father, Marty Schottenheimer, we all know what he was able to do in the NFL for many, many years. He was a rock solid coach, and ironically enough, he once got fired after a 13-3 season. A little bit harsh on him, but I do take a look at this Dallas Cowboys team. They're going to be lethal on offense as long as Dak Prescott stays healthy. And that's the big if here, because if Dak Prescott is not healthy, man, then you're really looking at something that's all sorts of brutal, because it's Joe Milton right now as their backup quarterback. Are there worse backup quarterback options than Joe Milton? There certainly are. Do you want to be banking on Joe Milton leading a team to a playoff? Probably not. But I mean, again, you've got yourself an offensive line that I think goes a little bit under the radar. You've got great weapons, and this is a defense that I think it has a little bit more to it than what a lot of people want to realize. Obviously, you have Micah Parsons up front, and Micah Parsons, I mean, sometimes he's a little bit hit or miss. Like, I was a little bit underwhelmed by what Micah Parsons was able to do last season, but still, he's one of the better players that you're going to find in all of football. They take a little bit of a buy low stab on Dante Feller Jr. That's a guy that once upon a time was a top five pick. Disagreed with him being a top five pick, but once upon a time he was a top five pick. And again, this is a secondary that I think that in an NFC East where you're going to need to really defend the pass, you've got Jalen Hurts obviously in this division. We're not going to have to do so too much against the New York Giants. Sorry, New York Giants, but yeah, that's a lost cause. And I talked about them on this show a few days ago, might have actually been yesterday. Not feeling the New York Giants, to say the least, but I mean, there's that aspect of things. And then obviously Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders. I don't think that this is like the best secondary in the NFL. I don't think that this is like an elite one, even in their terms of their own division, but I think that they're able to hang. And I do think that in their non-divisional games, I think that the entirety of the NFC East is going to rise up. And I could see this being a really good, just three-team sort of trio out there in the East. Obviously, the Giants, they're going to be left in the dust. They're going to be completely swallowed whole. But that said, I think that the Dallas Cowboys can make the playoffs. You're able to find that at good plus money. That win total is 7.5. I like it over. I think that there's a world where you could get 10 wins out of the Dallas Cowboys team this season. And that's something I never thought I would say about the Dallas Cowboys. I am bullish on them. And what else I'm bullish on is the fact that on this baseball card for Tuesday, we've got all 30 teams in action. Let's break it down next on Cash It Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Well, that was a fun, entertaining preview of the Dallas Cowboys. Might be the first time in the history of forever that I'm more bullish on the Dallas Cowboys than most people, because typically they're an overrated organization. Typically I'm very low on Jarrett and company, but you know what? I have a feeling that this year could be a solid year for the Dallas Cowboys. Expect more when everyone is expecting less, and expect less when everyone is expecting more. So a lot of fun out there in the NFC East, and we've talked quite a bit of football this hour as we were looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers and their moves from Monday with Jared Bailey a little bit earlier in the hour. So how about if we get you guys some actual game action? And the main game in town, it is Major League Baseball as of right now, and we do have ourselves a rock-solid slate. All 30 teams are in action, so let's dive in with what is going to be the early game, and we do have a day game in Major League Baseball. If I'm not mistaken, it's Canada Day. Someone needs to straighten me out if it's not, but I believe that it is Canada Day on Tuesday, which is why you get like this one random day game every single day from the Toronto Blue Jays, and it just so happens to be here. This is 9:09, 9:10 on the card. It is the Yankees on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, Canada for Kevin Gausman being on the start on the bump for them, and Mad Max Fried is going to be going for the New York Yankees, and with the New York Yankees, pretty sizable favorites. Going to be finding them in that neighborhood of -160 to a -170. Seeing as high as a +150, as low as a +140 with regards to Blue Jays. And the total on this game, it is an 8. I'm very intrigued to see where this line is going to be moving forward, because I'm willing to take pretty much a +150 or higher with regards to Blue Jays, and I'm going to be waiting to see if we could just get a little bit more value here. We've been noticing a little bit of positive line movement here, so when it's all said and done, I do think that I'm going to be landing on the Blue Jays in some form or capacity, despite the fact that Kevin Gausman has been a little bit less than savory recently. He's given up 3-plus runs in 7 out of his last 11 starts. He's coming off of a really good start in his last time out against the Cleveland Guardians. 6 scoreless innings, and if you look at the underlying numbers, should be doing for some positivity. He is giving up a little bit north of home run per 9 innings. The hard contact numbers have been up, but he's still giving up less than 2.5 walks per 9 innings. He's still getting north of 8 strikeouts per 9. And for Max Fried, he's had a masterful year. Like, this guy, I believe, deserves serious Cy Young consideration. Now, Drake Skubal is Drake Skubal. He certainly needs to be number one. But, I mean, for Max Fried, even though the strikeout numbers are not on par with Mr. Skubal, the ERA is actually lower. He's only giving up 0.6 home runs per 9 innings. He's been allowing only about 1.8 walks per 9 as well. So he's done a nice job of, just for lack of a better term, not beating himself. He is backed up by a bullpen of the Yankees, by the way, that has been pretty sturdy. Top 8 in terms of ERA, Luke Weaver, Yuri De Los Santos, Fernando Cruz has been able to all give you a sub-3.5 ERA. And for the Yankees, it's been just a very interesting lineup in general, because going into the day on Monday, they had scored 4 runs or fewer in 14 out of their last 18 games. They lose once again, scoring 4 runs on Monday, looking a little bit better right now, but I don't know when they're going to be all the way back. And I do need to just wait and see. Let's get a few games in a row where the Yankees, they look like the Yankees of old, because you do have Giancarlo Stanton now back in the fold for this team. And obviously Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. 30 plus home runs. He's giving you north of 450 on base, but just look at the fall off for some of these guys in June. Paul Goldschmidt in the month of June. And I think that this is a big kicker. Like, a lot of people want to talk about the power bats for the New York Yankees. Like, Ben Rice, Trent Grisham, those are more of your ancillary power bats outside of Aaron Judge. But look no further than Paul Goldschmidt, because he's, in my opinion, a little bit of table center for this team. Hit below a .155 for the month of June. You just need a little bit more out of Paul Goldschmidt there. Jazz Chisholm, since coming out the injury list, has actually been really good. 6 home runs in the month of June. He was able to move the line for about a .380 on base. But Anthony Volpe hitting right around .200 in the month of June. Ben Rice, these have been the guys that have taken a little bit of a fall off. And when it comes to the Blue Jays, all of a sudden the team is starting to rise up a little bit more in terms of the offense. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, along George Springer have all been able to give you 11 plus home runs. It is a Blue Jays team that is currently in the bottom 8 in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, so you could use a little bit more power out of these guys. But still, you've been able to have this Blue Jays team be able to have guys that find a way on base. Don't call his name, Alejandro Kirk, along with Ernie Clement, have been able to both hit north of .290 for the team. Nathaniel Lux's move line. Heck, I mentioned George Springer, about a .350 on base out of him. Flagger Jr. about a 380 or so with regards to his on base as well. So you've got guys that are able to find a way to be able to just get on base. And with this Blue Jays bullpen, has it been a little bit hit or miss? Yes, Mason Fluharty, along with Chad Green, posting up north of a 4 ERA, less than tremendous, but the long relievers like a Yuriel Rodriguez has been able to do a solid job. Sub 3 ERA out of him. Brandon Little, along with Braden Fisher, sub 3 ERA as well. I do think that for the Blue Jays, once you can get to a plus 150 or higher, that starts to yield some value. So I'm going to be looking at them most likely on the money line, or if you can get like a minus 110 with regards to getting a run half on the run line, if that moves a little bit overnight as well, would be willing to consider that. And with the total, I did some Vitello at an 8.2. For Gausman, it's been a little bit less than tremendous for him. And for Fried, even though he's been amazing this year, I do feel like we might see a little bit of a fall off moving forward. So in on that over, and I do like the Blue Jays in some form or capacity. What else I love is that we were talking about football in the last segment. All these football contests, they are going on in Las Vegas. Now is the time to be able to sign up. You're able to sign up for all of them with just one trip to lovely Las Vegas. And if you need a proxy, Winner's Circle Proxy, they've got your back as you're able to be in all these events, whether that be Circa Millions, the Westgate Super Contest. You go down the list with one trip, and they've got you guys covered with all of them. They're trusted by thousands of players, and they have been doing this for over 9 years. Winner's Circle Proxy helped clients win over $9.3 million the last two seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service over at winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We had a little bit of a flipperoonie in terms of pitcher in the Baltimore Orioles game. It was looking like it was going to be Charlie Morton at first. Now it's going to be Brandon Young. And, well, I think that it's going to be a rough go of it for our good friend and Mr. Young. Let's dive in on 9/13, 9/14. As it is the Orioles on the road against the Walker Texas Rangers with Mr. Jacob DeGrom on the bump for the Rangers. And the Rangers find themselves in that neighborhood about a minus 190. If you're looking to lay a run and a half, you're finding that at about a plus 115, and the total is 7. With Brandon Young, I think that he has a propensity to perhaps give this up all by himself. A nice, hearty 7-11 ERA. Very fitting. He is open to giving up runs this season. For Young, he's actually not had the world's worst swing and miss stuff. He's got 11 strikeouts in 12 and two-thirds innings across his three starts thus far this season, but and this guy has been giving up a little bit too much hard contact. You can take a look at what he was able to do at the AAA level this year. Pretty solid. Now, he was over there with AAA Norfolk in the Independence League, was posting up about a 270 ERA, 9.5 strikeouts for 9 innings. But when he's gotten to the big league level, it's just not materialized. And you did have these two teams play 11 innings on Monday, which means that both of these bullpens are relatively spent. You had Keegan Aiken give up that home run. He's been one of the better relievers for the Orioles. They had to use up Felix Bautista as well. And then when you get into some of these long guys, it's just a big, giant roll of the dice as to what you're going to be getting there. Gregory Soto, along Sir Anthony Dominguez, have actually been halfway decent for the Orioles, but I don't know how long-lasting that's going to be. The Orioles entered in the series 24th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. The Rangers were actually a top-10 team going into this game as well, but that rose after they gave up in the 10th and 11th inning quite a few runs, so a lot of guys like Robert Garcia and company, they got used up too. But for Jacob DeGrom, two runs or fewer allowed in each out of his last 12 starts. This guy has been on one. Now, if you look at the ERA versus the fielding independent, 206 ERA, 304 fielding independent, probably is doing for a little bit of negativity. Strikeout stuff is still solid at 9 strikeouts for 9 innings, but you expect that to be a little bit more for Jacob DeGrom. Still not giving out a lot of walks, only about 2 walks per 9 innings. And the biggest handprints that you've got in terms of the Rangers getting the job done in this game has been the offense. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Adolis Garcia was able to get a home run on Monday, but he, along with Marcus Semien, throwing there as well, what you've been able to get out of Jake Berger. These guys hitting a 235 or lower has been less than tremendous for the team. Jock Peterson, when he's been actually out there on the field, has been even worse. So, him being on the injury list has actually been a good thing for the Texas Rangers, as Wyatt Langford has been able to give you 12-plus homers thus far this season. So, that's helped them out, but you're really not getting a lot of average out of him either. And on the flip side for the Baltimore Orioles, this team entered in the day on Monday, averaging only about 3.6 runs per game away from home, and they were the dead last team in terms of the big leagues, in terms of their road over rate. Like, they're playing north of two-thirds of their games when they're on the road to the under. They just haven't been able to get a lot of offense generated. Now, part of that has been injuries. Kuhnhauser coming back in the fold, along with a few other guys that's been able to help him out. Ramon Urias has been able to give you a little bit of something too. So that should be able to help. Gunnar Anderson has been a nice constant. He's been able to about a 275, but you don't have a ton of power with this team. Cedric Mullins has 12 home runs entering in the day on Monday, number one on the team. And Mullins hitting less than a 225 has been less than amazing. Ryan O'Hearn has been the main guy, move line, about a 375 on base. He's been able to give you some good power. But that said, I do think that you are going to be able to have this Texas Rangers team erupt just a little bit more moving forward. And I do think that they do so against Young. I like the run line of the Rangers, and I do like this total over as well. What else I like is that the NBA offseason never stops. We'll talk about that a little bit more along with this Tuesday baseball card on the flip side on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.